and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth. This morning we are going to pick up again once more on Heidelberg Catechism number 21. Dealing with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we spoke about true faith, that it's not only a sure knowledge, but it's a hearty trust that when we have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit causes us to have a confidence in the Lord that He will do what He says He's going to do. Reformers used to speak of faith in a certain way. They used to call it the notitia, the assensus, and also the fiducia, which refers to we have to have the proclamation of the gospel. We have to have the information given to us, and then what we do is we assent to that. Okay, it is true. And then the third aspect of it is the fiducia is trusting in that knowledge that is true. All right, so not just recognizing this, but believing it, resting in it. I've used this before about the tightroper, and there is a huge difference between the guy, as he took the wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and he looks down at the crowd and he says to one particular man, "Do you believe that I could do this?" And the man says, "Yeah, I saw you do it. I just saw you." And so he said, "Well, come on up here and get in the wheelbarrow." Well, I guess not in your life. Well, he had the ascensus. He saw that the guy could do it, but he wasn't resting in that man's hands. He wasn't allowing himself to rest in that wheelbarrow. And there are lots of people today who will assent to the fact that they believe the Bible.
Well, the devil even, believes Scripture and the things that have happened, but yet is not of the faith.
Yeah. He has, even the demons believe and tremble.
Yeah.
So there is a knowing that the Bible is true. You know, when I was an unbeliever, I believed that the Bible was true. I believed in the Trinity. I believe that God was triune. I mean, that's what I was taught. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior. But I didn't read the Bible. And when the Bible was read, it was read in the church service. How much of it was read, I don't remember all the details of it. But I know that, if the sermon would go too long, I'd be looking at my watch. I'd be griping about the service went long today. That's the telltale signs that something is wrong when you are so desirous to be out of that place of worship. I mean, just think about this. What will we do for eternity?
Yes, the eternal Sabbath, sure. In eternal worship.
We will be worshiping the Lord. We'll be worshiping Him all that we do. So it won't be just simply a worship service that all it will do is be worshiping. We'll be serving the Lord. It will be paradise restored. Adam, before the fall, was tending the garden. And he was tending it. And it was an aspect of his worship to God in tending the garden. So there is going to be things that are going to be going on in the kingdom wherein righteousness dwells. We're not going to be just sitting around worshiping all day long. an aspect of our worship will be in our service to the true and living God. And I'm certain there will be those throngs of gatherings of the people of God that worship and praise and sing the Hallelujah chorus. I mean, and are singing to glory to God. But how strange is it? If that is the destination for the people of God, that here on this earth, which is the beginning of that eternal Sabbath, the beginning of eternal joy, you don't have that in your soul now. That's a telltale sign that something's wrong. Something's not right in your soul. And I could tell you that as an unbeliever, I sat in the church services, and I sat for 18 years. And I went on and on and on and listened and listened and listened. I can't tell you a sermon that I heard. I was too interested in, I hope he doesn't go long today. But for the believer, it's a desire to worship the God who has redeemed you. So these are questions and things that you look to in understanding whether or not you're truly believing the gospel. Because I certainly wasn't at that time. And I know when the Holy Spirit worked in my heart and brought faith to my heart, where I believed and I trusted. I had no hope. Because back then in those days, you would ask me, what's going to happen to you when you die? I would say, I'm going to heaven. And if you said to me, on what basis? I'm a good person. Look what I do.
Go to church on Sunday.
I go to church on Sunday. I was baptized, catechized. I was confirmed. I did all those things. I mean, look, why wouldn't I go?
You're not like that bad guy down the street after all.
I'm not like that Greg guy.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for him.
Yeah. No, it's I was a Pharisee. I was simply looking to myself because the work of the Holy Spirit, the means of grace, was not alive in my soul. He didn't raise me up spiritually at that point. When he did, I had no hope in myself. I knew I was vain and more vain than vanity itself. The only hope that I had was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what is contained in the gospel. Notice what the catechism says. The forgiveness of sins and everlasting righteousness. Now, when we look to a couple of texts of scripture, I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes this beginning in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. Notice that God made Christ, who knew no sin. He was the spotless lamb. He was the righteous one. He was the only one who had no sin. He made him to be sin for us. Now, think about that concept for a minute. And we talked about last time the amount of sin in our lives. And, you know, it's not something that we dwell on as Christians because we're looking to Christ, confessing our sins, repenting, moving on. And you don't want to get bogged down to where you become stagnant in your Christian life, being introspection, you know, looking at every little nook and cranny. Oh, did I do this? Simply recognize that you are to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins to the Lord, and move on in the Christian life. We are called soldiers of the cross, and one of Satan's devices is to get you so ensnared in being introspective of your own sins that you do nothing in service for the Lord, which then becomes sin because you're not serving Christ, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how sin can become pounded in our lives in that way. But Paul says that Christ knew no sin, but he became. How did Christ, as he says here, how was he made sin for us? It couldn't be that he became sin, right? Because if he became sin, let's go out to the bar and eat, drink, and be merry, because we have no Savior. So you know that he couldn't become spotted by the cross. So what is he saying here?
Our sins were imputed to him. He took them on in the judicial sense and paid the penalty for those sins for us.
So he it was reckoned unto him that he took all the sins of all those that were given to him. They were heaped on him by imputation.
He wrote the check.
So he is viewed as if
he had committed all those sins, although he was the spotless lamb, who had to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength on the cross while he was paying the price for those sins. Otherwise, it would be sin if he didn't love the Lord with all of his being. So even while he was undergoing the penalty for our sin, the punishment that the Father was meting out on Jesus Christ in his person for our sin, Christ was loving him with all of his soul. And the same thing, Paul says, this happened that we, the people of God, in the book of 2 Corinthians, he's writing to the believers in Corinth, he's saying, we become the righteousness of God in him. So at the same time, that exchange takes place where Christ's righteousness is then imputed to those who are his own, who by faith believe in him. So when we come to faith, we have the imputation of Christ's righteousness, and we have the declaration of God that we are righteous and holy in his sight. And then God is just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. But Christ did not become sin. It was reckoned to him as if he had sinned the sin. It's just in the same way that we're not inherently righteous. It's reckoned to us, that righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so Christ was treated as if he had sinned all the sins of the people that were given to him in exchange for his righteousness. And God views us as if we have kept a covenant perfect. And that is only by faith in Jesus Christ receiving all his benefits. And that's what you have when you have Jesus Christ. You have all that is necessary unto your salvation. We read in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul again writes regarding the person of Jesus Christ and his work for his people. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became a curse for us on the cross. He took the malediction. You read Deuteronomy 27 and 28, you read about the blessings and the cursings of the covenant. Christ took the cursings of the covenant that we might receive the blessings of the covenant. Christ actually merited the blessings and went to the cross to take the cursings that we would never be cursed. Christ received the malediction that we as the people of God, at the end of the service, what do we receive?
The benediction.
Benedictus. It's the dictus is word. Bene is good. It's the good pronouncement, the good word pronounced upon the people of God. It's God blessing his people. It's not a prayer. It's God blessing his people. And so this is what we receive in the gospel by the work of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins for his righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. You have no hope apart from Jesus Christ, period. If you don't have Jesus Christ, if you're not cleansed by his blood, if you don't have his imputed righteousness, you are still under the wrath and the curse of God. And the moment you die, you are in eternal damnation. You are in hell suffering judgment of God, waiting the white throne, the great white throne judgment, where you will stand before the Lord and be cast to hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity. The promise of the gospel is that you come to him, all of your sins are cleansed, and he imputes to you a perfect righteousness by which you are then received and made acceptable to the Father. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccos.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota.
Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.